Okay, here we are. Episode 5 of How to Fail. I recorded this episode like 3 different times. The first time I recorded it, I did all this cool somatic shit. I got all these new cameras. I got a drone. And I recorded it, and it didn't have sound. So lots of pretty visuals. I may put some of those in this video and just talk over them. But the video didn't record. It was all about motivation and the lack thereof. But nothing recorded. Then the second time I recorded it, same thing, no sound. So I had this like real deep emotional thing going. And I went back and watched it, no sound again. So I got all these fancy wireless mics, and I haven't quite figured out how to make them work. I think I got them working now, but I just went back to my original desktop setup. So I know that this probably won't get a ton of views because YouTube doesn't like the webcam. It likes the fancy somatic camera. So, but that's okay because, you know, the people who need to see it will see it, and the people who listen to it will listen to it. This week was Mother's Day, so I want to talk all about mothers. I want to talk all about how we can not fail mothers. So I guess the episode is how to fail women, how to fail mothers this particular week. So I'm not going to do a trailer or anything like that. I'm just going to bang it out and then probably upload it. So this will probably be the least edited. I know I get a lot of emails about the music and you guys liking the music and all that good stuff. So maybe I'll just do like a playlist or something to accompany this at a later date. Mothers, right? You're going to hear my computer apparently going off because it feels the need to do updates while I'm talking. Moms, right? We all love our moms for the most part, right? We have different relationships with them. Some of them are good, some of them are bad. Some of us have lost our moms, some of our moms are still around. My mom had me very young. She had me when she was still a teenager. She had my sister when she was a teenager as well. And I think back about how hard I was on my mom at certain points and certain times. And then I think about me being 40 years old with a 6-year-old and a 3-year-old and how fucking hard it is to raise them with all of the means that I have and all the help. I have a live-in nanny, which a lot of you know who know me on a personal basis. I've had a nanny since my daughter was born. So there has been no time that I have not had help parenting my kids. I've always had help. And it's still hard as fuck. And I think about my mom being a teenager and doing it, and all the different things that we went through and the economic realities of essentially growing up while you're raising two kids at the same time. And I don't have a clue how she did it. I am ashamed sometimes at the hard times that I gave her just trying to be my mom. I'm grateful that, you know, like most moms, they stick in there with you and they give you the opportunity and they give you some grace. And, you know, me and my mom have gotten to a wonderful place in the last, you know, 6 years, 7 years, especially since my daughter's been born for sure. And I'm really, really grateful for that. I think that, you know, motherhood is one of those things that is, it's tough. And as much as we know how hard it is to be someone's mom or be someone's dad, I think that there's a skewed view in society when it comes to women and helping them or them needing help or losing themselves or them struggling with being a mom. I know I was talking to the mother of my kids for sure. And I remember having my kids in the airport and both of them and catching a flight. And like everybody's really kind to me. Like they're like helping me with the car seats and like, you know, helping me to get on the plane. And they're like, oh, you're such a great dad. And, you know, the stewardesses are bringing me extra snacks, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I know she told me like when she has the kids and she's taking trips with them, like they're like, shut those kids up, bitch. Like it's a very different situation that she gets in terms of going through society and sometimes struggling with the two kids. So I definitely have seen that firsthand. And I know that that's something that society does. It's this thing where women are expected to have this identity of being great mothers and great caretakers, right? We put baby dolls into women's hands at, you know, age two. And we tell them, you know, here's this baby. And, you know, you got to take care of it. You got to feed it. You got to change its diaper, et cetera, et cetera. So, like, women's toys come with responsibilities. Whereas, like, boys' toys, it's like, you just fuck them up. You play with them. You break them. You do whatever. You know, it's hammers and blocks and trucks and all types of shit. And, you know, it's like you just play with it to have fun. You know, there's no requirement. Like, kids aren't fucking changing oil and tuning up cars. And we're not teaching our kids that. You know what I'm saying? But when it comes to the girls, it's like, oh, you got to do their hair. And you have to feed them. And we're prepping women with this level of responsibility, even at a very light level. And I don't want to get on here and make it seem like it's society repressing women, because I don't necessarily believe that it's that, but I believe that it's these minor things that create these psychological chains or burdens sometimes for women that cause them to lose themselves or to cause them to go into postpartum depression or to have identity issues when they decide that they're going to have kids or when they have kids. I know that there are plenty of women that I know who are amazing and they have all these wonderful plans and then life happens and then, like, you know, it throws them off. For one, I have it's a friend of a friend. She was a fitness instructor, just a total badass. And she got pregnant, you know, with her husband's kid. And she like did this whole Instagram, like fit mommy pregnancy. And like, she was like doing burpees and like all this cool shit, like while she was pregnant. And like, she had this whole plan. Like, I mean, she was lifting, like she was cut up, you know what I'm saying? Like she was like in great shape. And then she had the kid and she couldn't snap back, even though she had been working out so hard during the pregnancy. And she continued to work out after she had the kid. Her body just didn't take to the fitness the same way that it had previous to her having it. So you have these things going on where there's these emotional and mental lapses and breakdowns in terms of not being able to keep up with yourself in the same ways that you had prior to having this kid that you love, that you take care of, that you're responsible for. I have another really, really great friend. She ended up having two kids back to back after really not knowing if she wanted to have kids. And then you have kids with, you know, men who are great men or who are providers, but they don't necessarily know how to be caretakers because they don't have that same subconscious built in of taking care of baby dolls since they were little. You know, men have a very task oriented completionist attitude towards most of the things that we do, right? you go in, you do the thing, you get it done, and it's over. But when it comes to kids, it's a lot more subtle, and it's a lot more environmentally, emotionally hard to know exactly what it is that needs to do or what the task is that needs to be done on a day-to-day basis. Even that we as men can do to help out, you know, the women in our lives, whether they're to be seen and to be able to have some relief. So, you know, run that bath water, you know, thank them, appreciate them, write them a handwritten letter about how much you're okay. So like I was saying, show appreciation, you know, run that bath water, give her a night off, write her a handwritten letter. Most women, they just want to feel appreciated and feel seen. And the way that we can do that is by actually trying to see them. I am 100% guilty of this. I come up with a master plan. I know that it's foolproof and that it will work. And about 90% of the time, I'm 1,000% factual. If it sees its way through the way it's supposed to go, the plan will work and it'll be great. But in terms of executing the plan, sometimes I don't consider the other people that the plan affects. And that causes me to not be a considerate partner. It causes me to make people feel unseen. And that's something that I am currently working on personally. So if that's something that you struggle with, then you can work on that as well. I know for me, like I said, I have so many amazing women who have been moms and mothers to me, whether or not they tune into the podcast. You know, Marianne Boone, my grandmother, is as feisty as they come. She is, you know, 92 years old. I talk about her in some previous podcasts. Just an amazing woman, weighs 5 kids, 13 grandkids, in a completely white house with no stains. Just amazing. My mom had me at a young age, grinded. I saw her put herself through business school. I saw her catch the train every day, work from 5 to 5, raising 2 kids, then 3 kids. I saw her do what was ever needed to make sure her kids got what they needed. My Aunt Regina Richards, she took care of, you know, me like I was her son, 100%, and countless other people. Katrina Banks was a wonderful influence on me in college. Jennifer Thomas was an excellent influence on me in my professional life. There's just tons and tons of women who I've had the opportunity to learn from, who are older and who have been through things, and took the time to share a story with me, or give me a bit of advice or a bit of encouragement, or sometimes just gave me a hug when I needed it. And I don't take those things for granted at all. Lessons that I've learned from older men in terms of women and ways that we can support them. My granddad says,
we'll be back after a quick break.
I hate talking.
Do you love talking about any topic and are never frustrated during conversations? Then I Hate Talking is not a podcast for you.
But if there are topics that you avoid, then listen to I Hate Talking.
Do you know the definition of every word others use? I Hate Talking is not a podcast for you.
But if you are curious about the definition and historical usage of words, then listen to I Hate Talking.
Do you know about current events and other random topics? Then I Hate Talking is not a podcast for you.
But if you enjoy conversations on a variety of topics, then listen to I Hate Talking.
Listen to I Hate Talking wherever you get your podcasts.
Episodes drop every Thursday. Listen, like, and follow I Hate Talking today.
Don't chase butterflies. Because when you chase them, they fly away. Work on making the most beautiful garden that you can, and you'll attract butterflies. And that goes in conjunction with this other saying that some of you guys have probably also heard, you know, where you can take away a thorn and replace it with a rose. You should take the opportunity to do that. So simultaneously, you're creating more work for yourself if you ever sit and talk to them. Because every time that you take a thorn away and you place a rose, well, roses have thorns. So while you're making things more beautiful, you're also requiring yourself to have to place more thorns. But ultimately, you're creating a more beautiful garden. And it essentially just means that go about the way that you go about the world and do kind things. Work on yourself, work on your own personal improvement, and you'll be attracting the right kinds of butterflies, and they'll come and stay a while in your garden. And sometimes if you're lucky, like him, they'll stay for, you know, 74, 75 years, which is how long he's been married to my grandmother. You know, Lonnie Banks, I learned from him to be patient. He raised 2 beautiful girls, and he had a feisty wife. So he had 3 feisty women in the house at the same time. And I remember when I was a freshman in college, he said, you got to be patient. You got to pray. And that's how he got through. And that's how he went about it. He went about handling his daughters with the utmost care and the utmost prayer. And that was something that worked for him. I remember not too long ago having a conversation with a gentleman named Floyd Thomas, and he was telling me how he worried about his girls, even though they were all grown. And, just how he went to work and he went about his business, but he always had that worry in the back of his mind that he needed to do something for them or that they would need something and he wouldn't be able to provide for it, even though he's well old and has more than provided, has, in ways that I hope to provide one day. That's just something that men always worry about. My granddad worries about being able to do things for my grandma at 90 and 92. I'm like, y'all have done all the things. The things are all done. You've done all the dates. You've been all the places. But my grandmother, she has a voracious appetite for life. You know, she still wants to see things and do things that she hasn't seen or done yet. I told you guys about the lamb chop story a few years ago. And there's so many other things like that for her. Women, they evolve and they change. Women typically change, in my opinion, every 3 years. You know, they are evolving and becoming a better version of themselves. They're refining who they are. They are going out and seeking to become whatever the next level of whatever the best version of themselves are. Men don't have that same drive. Men, we kind of get stuck in our ways. Who we are at 18 is very much who we are at 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 or 100, especially if we don't have good women in our lives to push us to want more for ourselves. And that doesn't mean that the man that you are at 18 is a bad guy. At 18, you can be working hard, going to the gym. You know, you come home, you watch your sports, you do good, you're chilling. You know what I'm saying? And women open up the world for us in so many different ways. And we need to give them reverence and respect for that. You know, there's Mother's Day where we have the opportunity to celebrate them, but we really should be celebrating them every day because none of us would be here without them. The sacrifices that they put in on their bodies, on their mental, on their self-image, on their self-worth, those sacrifices, they don't go appreciated enough. And I'm talking about me, myself as well. And it's not just women who have kids. There are women who don't have children, but they take the opportunity to raise children. And I'm not even talking about little kids. I'm talking about men. There are women who have put their arms around me that I have dated, that I have just come into contact with, who have taken the opportunity to teach me something or give me some advice or push me in positive ways. And those women very much are responsible for raising me as well. I spent a ton of time at my friend Anthony's house when I was a kid, or my friend Daniel's house when I was a kid. And I could eat over there and hang out and spend the night. And they just took me in. There was no, conversation with their moms and my moms. They just, saw me there, saw a need, and made sure I was taken care of. And when my friends came to my house, my mom did the best she could to do the same thing for them. And there's this community of women that they all have this thing where they understand that they're here to care and nurture. But at the same time, they don't necessarily get the appreciation that they should get, right? There's this big debate going on of, what do women bring to the table or those types of things. And I've gotten caught up in it myself as a, a man who, makes a good little chunk of change and has some education and cooks and cleans, et cetera. I've gotten into this trouble area myself sometimes with the ego. And that's all it really is this ego and pride typically that keeps men from appreciating women in the ways that they should be appreciated. But that's the way that God designed it, right? God designed men to be complete. He did. That's just the way that he designed it. It's biblical. It is what it is. When God put Adam on earth, he said, this is good. He didn't say this is the best I could do. He didn't say this is exquisite. But he said, this is good. yes, this is good. I did it. He's good. He's good to go. But as Adam went along, right, as the king of his domain, with no bills, with no real responsibilities other than the task that God gave him in the Garden of Eden, he got sad. You know, so just because God creates you and gives you purpose and gives you everything you need, it doesn't mean that you don't get sad sometimes, right? So take that, man. Adam got sad in the Garden of Eden with everything. So when you get down on yourselves, that's all by God's design, right? So God saw that and he created a woman. And it's very interesting that he took from man to create woman, and he provided for women. But he didn't put the same burden of decision-making on women that he put on men. And we know that because when they were in the garden and Eve was tempted and she, ate of the fruit, we often call an apple, there was no immediate punishment, even though God had seen it. The immediate punishment didn't come until she had given it to Adam and he made the decision to eat. And I think that that's super important too, because we as men have to make sure that we understand the responsibility that we have, that God places on women in our lives in terms of decision-making when it comes to things. Just because women offer you different things or just because you find yourself in certain situations, we have to have the self-discipline in order to make good choices. And this is coming from someone who is learning how to practice self-discipline on a regular, everyday basis. It's not that she wasn't capable. It's not that she didn't have the mind to understand. It's that God put that burden on man. In the same way that, you know, women's desires are to that man, right? There wasn't a whole lot of options, right? God created women and said, hey, this your nigga. You know what I'm saying? Take care of him. And same thing with Adam. You know, he was like, he was just happy to have somebody on the scene. So a lot of times women say men will just take anything. But once again, that's by God's design, right? We don't know if Eve was fat, skinny, whatever. So what do we do? Big finish. It seems to me that most women appreciate consistency. It seems to me most women appreciate appreciation. It seems to me most women appreciate having a vision. It seems that most women appreciate transparency. And all of those things require really one thing, and it's accountability. So if you're accountable for the things that you do on a day-to-day basis, more likely than not, you'll end up in a situation where you are able to create safe spaces for women. That's what we want to do, is we want to create safe places for women. When women feel safe, and I do not want to sound like a hotel or one of these things or a meme, but when women feel safe, it gives them the opportunity to create safe spaces for you. And that is your responsibility as a man. And that's something that I didn't always understand. I always thought that, you know, we were creating safe spaces together. But the reality of the situation is you have to create the safe space for her first. You have to go through whatever you have to go through. You know, for the person that you choose, you have to do the work to create the safe space for them. And then once you create the safe space for them, they can return that tenfold. Women are multipliers. You know, you give them a house, they give you a home. You know, you give them a seed, they give you a kid. You know, you give them groceries, they will typically give you a meal. They multiply the things that we give them. So if we give them safe spaces, they will give us even safer spaces. And that allows us to elevate and to be able to grow and become the man that we want to ultimately become. This episode might be a little disjointed. Had some recording issues, but thank you guys for tuning in and listening to How to Fail, episode 5. So go out there, love on the women that you love, and, you know, be kind to a woman today. Do something nice. Have a good one.